great to be with you today. We're continuing in our disciple series here at Celebration Church, and we have this weekend, and then we'll be wrapping up the series next weekend. And what we've been doing, we've been taking a look at the life of the Apostle Paul, specifically in the book of Philippians, and we've actually been doing an in-depth study of the book of Philippians. So I really hope that this has been a good series and a real source of strength to many of you. And I've really enjoyed being in the series myself. And it's just always great to dig in the Word of God and get a little bit deeper. We're going to continue in the series today, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And of course, in this series, we've been looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, who in human terms, I believe, was the greatest disciple. And in this book, he teaches us a lot about really what being a disciple is and what it means to live for the glory of God and live for God and God's preferences and not necessarily your own preferences and how to respond under pressure. And last week, we took a look at a passage of scripture there in chapter 3, and we talked about that, you know, any great relationship is built on trust, not on rules. And that's why it's so important that we understand that our greatest goal as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to know Christ and that intimacy and that relationship that's built on trust and not on rules. And so we're going to kind of take that a step further today. If you have your Bibles, as I said, open them to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12. And also you'll find there in your bulletin packets there, you'll find some sermon notes. And today we've given you the passages of scripture that we're going to be discussing. It's 3:12 to 4:1. And we have them there in your notes because I want you to circle or underline a few key passages, phrases, words as we read over these scriptures together. And of course, I encourage you to underline and mark up your Bible as well. So here we go. Chapter 3, verse 12. The Apostle Paul, now remember in the previous few verses he talked about knowing Christ and having that great relationship with God. And he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. In other words, he's basically saying, look, I'm still a work in progress. I don't know everything there is to know. And so he's kind of laying this out here and he says, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline that word heavenward, and that's in the NIV. Some of your translations might say towards heaven or heavenly. I want you to underline that. Verse 15, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Once again, underline a view of things. Talking about how we view God. He goes on to say, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So he's talking about, look, we just got it. We don't want to go backwards. We want to keep moving forwards, you know, in this great relationship that we have with Jesus. Verse 17, join with others in following my example. Underline that. Following my example. Remember the life of the Apostle Paul. So many setbacks, so many discouragements, so many what we would call disappointments, so many detours, so many left turns, so many things unexpected happened in his life. Yet he knew how to respond under pressure. He knew how to respond when things didn't go his way. He knew in his heart of hearts that God was in control. And his life as a disciple was about glorifying God and doing whatever God wants and participating in whatever God has for the Apostle Paul, regardless whether that was his personal preference or not. He goes on to say, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Now he's going to talk about people that have either lost their faith, or maybe people that were close to faith but never came to faith, or as the Bible talks about, it has shipwrecked their faith. We're going to talk about that today, so watch this. Verse 18, he says, for I have often told you before, and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. I want you to underline that. Their mind is on earthly things, earthly things. What's going on, the circumstances, the expectations, the assumptions, just very worldly minded, which while before the Apostle Paul says, hey, the call that we have from God, it's heavenward. The real world is in the other world. The real life is in the life to come. That's why we need to forget all those earthly things that are behind us. Disappointments, discouragements, pain, all that kind of stuff. We need to forget those things. We need to remember. We need to press on heavenward. We need to remember what life is all about. It's really about the life to come. It's about glorifying Jesus during our very temporary short stay here on this earth, because the real world and the real life is in the life to come. He says, but their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. He goes on to say, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, you who I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. So he's talking about here how to stand firm in God, how to have our faith in a sure, in a firm foundation so that our faith is not shaken. And he talks about, you know, being focused on Christ and heavenward, and our home is there. And then he says, but you know, there's these people, and unfortunately, their mind's on earthly things. It's all about this earth. It's all trying to figure out this earth. It's all trying to make things better in this earth, in this life. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, these people, their faith has been shaken, and they've departed from the faith. They've lost their faith, or they've shipwrecked their faith, or maybe they've never really come to faith. You know, if I can say one of the real joys that I have as a pastor, man, is watching God change lives. I just love it. It is why I do what I do. We get testimonies. Some of you I meet personally. Others, I get testimonies. We get letters in the mail. And, man, it's just all about, you know, hey, I was away from God. I was far from God. And I came to church. And, you know, at the end, I raised my hand like you asked to do. And I asked Jesus into my life. And, man, I felt his forgiveness. And now everything's changed. And I'm fulfilled and this and that. And then maybe I'll meet them later on. And they're in a small group or they're serving. And, man, they just start getting involved in the things of God. And their life has changed and all that stuff. Man, I love that stuff. It's awesome. I just love it, man. It's just such a joy to be up close and see so much of that happening. But you know, one of the real disappointments, one of the real pains that I have as a pastor is watching sometimes people that at one time were excited about God. At one time they had this fervent faith in Christ. And then something happens, and all of a sudden they've lost that faith, or they've departed from that faith, or that faith is shipwrecked, or maybe it's someone that I knew. And it's like, man, they were close to crossing that line of trusting Christ with their life. They came very close, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it causes them to draw back, and they never really cross that line of faith. And even though they were close at one time, now they're far, far from God. And just in my experience as a pastor and as a person, the common denominator many times that I see in the lives of people that lose their faith or they never really come to faith in Christ is something happens, something eventually happens in their life that they can't make sense of. In other words, something happened, they have a life experience, they can't explain it, it doesn't fit in their view of God. They have a setback, there's pain, there's tragedy, there's hurt, there's disappointment. Some kind of unexplainable circumstance happens to them. When I say unexplainable, they can't explain it. They can't figure it out. Man, I was putting God first and this happened. And I was doing A, B, and C, and so God should always do D, E, and F. Or, you know, I was doing A, B, and C, and so, you know, D, E, and F should never happen. Or I know some of you think I don't know my ABCs. I do know my ABCs. I'll throw out all 26 letters right now if I have to. But they think, you know, they have this view of God and they have faith in God. And if you ask them, they would say, yes, I have faith in God. But in their view of God, there's really a lot of other things there. And eventually something happens in life that doesn't make sense or they can't explain, and it hurts them. It throws them off. And all of a sudden, what they had their faith in, it seems to crash. That foundation of faith seems to crash, and therefore their faith crashes. So see here, in talking to people, and many of you today, if I asked you, I said, hey, what's your faith leaning against? I know some of you think this is an accident waiting to happen, but I'll have you know I've made it through several circumstances this weekend with no injuries. But it's like, if I would ask some of you, hey, what's your faith in? Well, most of you, if you're at that place, you would say God. Or if you're not a Christian yet, and I'd say, you know, and you're kind of on your way there, and you say, you know, I'm just kind of not there yet, but I want to put my faith in God. I'm just not there yet. But if I asked you, you know, those of you that have faith in God, if I said, what is your faith leaning against? You would say God. However, what I find with people is that when they say God, they actually mean, well, it's not just God. It is God, but it's also, there's certain conditions, there's certain expectations, there's certain assumptions. You know, I have faith in God, and therefore this will never happen to me. I have faith in God, so this will never happen to my kids. This will never happen to my marriage. This will, or I have faith in God, so this is always going to happen. You know, and especially, you know, when we come to timetables, you'll see time draws down there. You know, I have faith in God, and I'm doing this. I'm tithing, I'm giving, so I'm going to see this type of reward in this certain amount of time. Or, you know, I'm single, and man, I've been putting God first and all this kind of stuff, so, you know, I know that this is going to happen to me by this certain amount of time. And all of a sudden, even though we say we have faith in God, really, it's God plus, well, you know, this was never going to happen to my parents, or, you know, this would never happen, or this would never happen, or this is always going to happen. And it's really, we have a view of it's God plus a whole lot of other assumptions, expectations, and conditions. And this is what happens, gang. This is what I see happens to people. Something happens in their life that doesn't make sense with this view of God. This condition didn't happen like they thought. This expectation didn't work out like they thought. This thing happened in their life. And all of a sudden, because they had attached all of these expectations and timetables and conditions, I'll never experience this kind of pain. Or, you know, man, I was serving God, and this person wasn't serving God, and look what they got, and look how they got promoted, and this happened to them, and then look what happened to me. We attach all these conditions, expectations, assumptions, timetables to God, and that's really what our faith was leaning on. And so when the expectation or the assumption or the circumstance didn't, all of a sudden when we hit that thing, and you're going to hit one. And if you hadn't hit one yet, you're going to hit one, and you hit that life experience, and it doesn't make sense. And you ask God, why me? How could this happen? If you have attached that to your faith in God, it's going to crash. It's going to crash. Now let me encourage you with some things. And if you can get this principle, if you can get this point, I'm telling you, it will so help you. When we're talking about life, when we're talking about the world that we live in, how many of you know we live in a messed up world? We live in a very complicated world. We live in a world that has a whole lot going on. We live in a very small piece of time. There's so much going on. And here's what you need to know. God has not called us to interpret life when it doesn't make sense. We were not created to interpret life when it doesn't make sense. We were not created to try to figure out God and find the answers and find the, you know, why this evil and that happened, all that. We weren't created for that, gang. You know how God created us? He created human beings for worship and for trust. In other words, that's how we're made. God created us for worship, and he created us for trust. He did not create us to try to figure out life when it doesn't make sense. And if you attach some type of expectation or some type of assumption or whatever about life, if you attach that to your faith in God, eventually that's going to get rattled because everything in this world is going to be shaken. And I can promise you this, God, in his infinite wisdom, God knows what he's doing. And can I say, listen, God is smart. We are so, I mean, our understanding, we don't have the capacity to figure out. We can't even figure out the universe. We can't figure out how the universe got. So we don't have the capacity to figure out the wisdom of God and the complexities of the universe. Do you understand? God's outside of time. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. There's your big word for the day. He's omniscient. He knows all things, but watch this. He doesn't know all things in the present tense. He knows all things from eternity past to eternity future at the same time with no effort. You ready for a brain, a neuropathway, short circuit? Everything he knows, he sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He's outside of time, and there's these billions and billions of people, and there's this grand council, there's this grand scheme, there's this grand plan that he has, and he's not called us to figure out where all the dots connect, how everything works. We're not wired for that. Just like some of you, I hate to break it to you, you're not, guess what? Some of you aren't gifted to sing. Anybody just want to own up to it? You know what I'm saying? You're those people that in the worship service, you like to sing loud, and that's why there's always this circle of empty seats around you. So you're just not gifted for it. That's okay. You're gifted for other things. We all have gifts. We all have talents. But the human race as a whole, we're not gifted. We're not wired to figure out life when it doesn't make sense. We're not wired to answer, you know, this and that, and what about predestination, and what about the sovereignty of God, and what about this, and why is life so unfair, and why does this evil exist, and what about the people over here, and why did this tragedy happen to me, and how could this have happened when I was service God, and why didn't this work out in the time frame, and why didn't my life, we're not called to figure that out. We're not wired for it. We can't do it. We're called for worship, and we're called to trust. When God created us, he wanted, remember last, or any great relationship is not built on rules, it's built on trust. He created you to trust him. We're not going to be able to figure everything out. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. Not until Christ transforms our lowly body, not till we get to heaven are we going to be able to understand the grand scheme of things. And while life was like this or that, but I can promise you this, the Bible says at the end of the day, at the great judgment of God, at the end of time, guess what? Everyone will say, just and true are your ways, O Lord. God, everything that you did, I'm not saying this world is just, it's not just. The world didn't treat Jesus fairly. The world didn't treat the Apostle Paul fairly. The world's not going to treat you fairly. And we are not of the world, but we are in the world. A lot of times we say, hey, we're not in the world. A lot of times we say, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's true. That's what the Apostle Paul's talking about. Our citizenship is in heaven. However, we are still in the world. And we experience the pains and the setbacks and the disappointments and the complexities that the world that we live in, unfortunately, brings our way. Watch this. Job chapter 42. This is awesome, man. Okay, Job's finally, now remember the life of Job? Job's about to speak right here. Now, Job has been sitting in the dirt, throwing dirt on his head all day when he says this. How many know it's a bad day when you're throwing dirt on your head? Anybody been doing that lately? Okay, so no hands raised. See one guy in the back going. So anyway, we know the life of Job, and of course for us, you know, now it's real easy. We look back and we read the book of Job, and we're like, man, golly, didn't Job know he was serving God and all these things? And, you know, you read the book of, can you think really about Job's life? Here's Job, he's doing everything right. He's sacrificing to God every day. He's serving God. He's putting God first. He's living such a right life. Even God says to Satan, hey, Satan, have you seen Job? He is kicking your tail. He's putting me first. But then all of a sudden we know God doesn't cause, but God allows something to happen in Job's life. Job loses his family. He loses his business. Everything that could go wrong, every type of tragedy happens in the life of Job. And then what Job does, what Job had this view of God, that it was God, but you know, because I was doing this and because I was doing that, this should never happen and that should never happen. And it came to the point that Job kind of started complaining, you know, and he almost came to that place of losing his faith, but thank God he didn't, because at the end of the day, Job realized that his faith should be in God and God alone. And so finally, Job is speaking back after God answers Job and basically says, Job, look, you don't have the capacity to understand what I'm doing. I'm summarizing here what God said to you. There are things, Job, they're too wonderful for you to know. No human being can figure out my grand scheme and my grand counsel. Job didn't know that God was setting this up because God was going to have a book in the Bible about it. There's a grand scheme here. So finally, Job responds back to God after hearing from God. Says, Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, God said, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. In other words, they're too complex. These mysteries of the universe, I'm not created to figure them out, God. Only you have them figured out. I'm not called to figure them out. I'm called to trust, and I'm called to worship. Psalm 133:1. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not figure out when life doesn't make sense with all your heart. And that's what we do. Something happens we can't explain, and it's like we get so fixed on that earthly thing. Their mind is on earthly things. We get so, why did this happen? When the Apostle Paul says, one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind. I press on towards heaven. Some things are too wonderful for me to know. Look, you don't think God is smart? Listen to this. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. That means that God knows what you're going to think before you even think it. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with my ways. Watch this. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. What? Think about all the billions of people in the universe. Remember, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time, not just here in the present, but eternity past to eternity future. God's omniscient. He knows everything all at once, eternity past to eternity future. All the billions of people in the world right now, guess what? God knows every word that's about to come out of their mouth before they say it. Short circuit. God knew I was going to say that. Can you imagine that? The infinite wisdom of God. And that's why, gang, that's why now with all this context, I want you to remember what Jesus said. Unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. A child can't figure. How many of you have young children? I mean, they just, You know, my youngest is Annabelle. She's 6 years old, you know. And I can remember even when they were younger, but even Annabelle being 6 years old, you know, I need Annabelle to eat her broccoli. She doesn't like broccoli. She doesn't want to eat broccoli. Are you following me? She doesn't have the capacity. I cannot sit down and have a conversation with Annabelle and begin to reason and talk about, well, you know, this contains vitamin D. And this contains vitamin A, Annabelle. And if you eat this, it's going to produce this in your body. And you want to keep, your blood cells and your carbohydrates and all this kind of stuff. She doesn't have the capacity to figure that. You know what? No. Annabelle, trust me, eat your vegetables. And gang, to some of us, God is saying, trust me, eat your vegetables. You don't like it right now. You don't understand it right now. But you've got to understand that some things are too wonderful for you to know. Some things you're never going to understand till you get to heaven. And I've created you for worship and trust. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? So our life experiences, and I do want to say this about life experiences. Our life experiences, God does use those. I mean, life experiences are important. He uses life experiences, but we're not to put our trust in them. You know, you can think about, you can think of good life experiences. You know, like think of the good life experiences. Like, you know, you experience the presence of God, and that's awesome, man, and we're all into feeling God. But do you know, you can't put your trust in that. Because if your faith in God, I could just add feeling God's presence 24/7. If you add that to your foundation, what's going to happen when you don't feel God's presence? Is all of a sudden God not real? You can think of miracles or rewards like that. You know, we see tons of people get healed at Celebration Church. Miracles are awesome. But if you attach that, this person's always going to get healed, or God should never, or God will all, you attach that to that, I'm telling you, eventually, you're going to be disappointed. You know what the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, you know what he said about Epaphroditus? We talked about Epaphroditus last week, going back. He was from the Philippian church. He was ministering to Paul. He almost died. You know what the Apostle Paul said about him? Hey, Epaphroditus, he almost died, but God had mercy on him, so he's coming back to you. The Apostle Paul didn't say, you know, I stood on the word and I recited my faith healing prayer and he got healed. He didn't say, you know what, I got one of my anointed handkerchiefs like in Acts chapter 19 and I put it on Epaphroditus and he got healed. You know what the Apostle Paul said? God had mercy. Put that in your theological pipe and smoke it. I'm just saying, the Mr. Miracles, Mr. Miracle himself, Mr. Acts just sweat and they take his handkerchief and people start getting healed. Mr. Cena, all kind of miracles. When it came to Epaphroditus, he was about to die. He didn't say, oh, we prayed the prayer of faith and oh, we did this and oh, we anointed him with oil. He didn't give him a little mini lesson on how everybody should be healed like Epaphroditus is healed. You know what he said? He said, God had mercy. Do people get healed? Yes. But not everything happens, gang, like we think it's going to happen. According to our timetables, according to how we see, okay, it should happen this way, it should happen like this, it should happen like that. Are you feeling me on this? Can I have a good amen on that? We see healing miracles all the time, but once again, you know, there's a lot of people that get healed at Celebration Church, but there's some people that don't get healed like people would like to see them. You know, I was thinking about Stovey. He plays football, and there's a couple from our church in this league. And Stovey plays football with this one kid, and the kid's parents go to our church. And let me just say this for football, okay? Just so you'll know. The Weems, we are linemen, okay? We don't do well at the running back or the skill position. You know what I'm saying? I was a lineman. My father before me was a lineman. My father's father was a lineman. Stovey will be a lineman. I'm saying that because they had him playing running back at the football game this Saturday. And let's just say we're linemen. All right, we'll leave it at that. It's another series. But anyway, there's this family in our church, and they just have some real challenges with their life, what life has dealt them. And one of those challenges is one of their kids, the other son, not the son that plays football with Stovey, but the other son, is autistic. He's severely autistic. And that's really close to my heart because my sister has a daughter who's severely autistic. And that's why we're having the Joshua Room at our new facility at Bay Meadows and 9A that's designed for autistic and special needs kids. Can you say amen to that? We're really excited about that. And their autistic son was there at the football game with him. He's just a great kid, and he's you know, there with them, and just a great kid. And I'm listening to the mom talk, and she's talking a little bit about that and their son and kind of what they're thinking with his needs over the next year and just some challenges there. And then also know their life and their husband a little bit, and he was involved a lot with the financial markets and, you know, things kind of on the shake there over the last few weeks. And can I just be honest? I'm just being honest. I'm not being theological or anything like that. I'm just talking Stovall Weems personally, okay? And I'm sitting there. I'm just kind of, you know, after talking with them, I'm just kind of sitting there thinking. And can I just say, their life, it strengthens my faith. What I'm trying to say is this. I've seen a lot of miracles. Miracles are huge. If you need a miracle, we will pray for you. Miracles are huge to the people that get miracles and get the breakthroughs according to their timetable and all that kind of stuff like that. But can I say from a personal level, watching someone trust God and glorify God with a good attitude through very difficult and challenging circumstances, that builds and strengthens my faith personally much more than a miracle does. I'm not talking about a miracle is far better for the person that receives a miracle. You getting what I'm saying? I'm just saying if you're talking about like what strengthens my faith as a pastor, it's when I see people in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties in life, and they're not trusting God plus all these assumptions and expectations and circumstances, but they're trusting Christ and Christ alone. And that's what it comes down to, gang, with trust. Listen, as far as trust goes, God's not asking you to trust him according to how you can find him in a circumstance. God is not asking you to trust him according to figuring him out and explaining all different kind of things. God is asking you to trust him based on a person. Trust him based on a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation. That can never be shaken. We're talking about Jesus. We don't put our trust in God based on, okay, God's going to do D, E, and F because we've done A, B, and C. We don't base our trust on, okay, God will never, God will always. We don't base our trust on this will never happen, this circumstance, this assumption, this expectation. We base our trust on a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and our faith. If we lean our faith up against this sure foundation, I can promise you, you will never be disappointed. What does the song say? In Christ alone, I place my trust. Found the glory in the power of the... See, I'm not gifted. The Bible says that he who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. Remember what the Apostle Paul says? Their mind is on earthly things. Their glory is their shame. They've been put to shame because they've trusted in other things besides the person of Jesus Christ. They've, remember, the mature, let's have this view. They've had a view of God that added things and assumptions and timetables and expectations and an easier life or a convenient life. King, the Apostle Paul did not have a convenient life. And I'm telling you, eventually, if your faith is not on the person of Jesus Christ, I can promise you, eventually, your faith will become very inconvenient. And what are you going to do? Let me tell you what our faith rests on. You know what this foundation is built on? The person of Jesus Christ? Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived a perfect life as the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there. Now watch, if Jesus didn't live a sinless life, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, well, guess what? I'm an idiot, and so are a lot of you. But I tell you what, that's where my faith is, that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross for all of our sins, and that he did rise again on the third day. That moment in history where Jesus proved, he said, Stovall, he said to each and every one of you, he said, I love you, I'm going to prove it right now. And the relationship that I have for you while you're on this earth, one day you'll be perfected. One day you'll know as you were known. One day you'll understand the mysteries of the universe. But while you're on this earth that is full of disappointments, tribulations, trials, while you're on this earth, I have called you to worship and trust, and that is it. And your faith, our faith is firm on the person of Jesus Christ. What did you think about your financial gift? You know, a lot of people find, you know, I'm gonna give this, and we have an idea of, okay, well, I'm going to get this back from God, and this is going to be my reward. Your financial giving should be for worship, and it should be for trust. God will reward you however he wants to reward you. And as the clay, we cannot say to the potter, Lord, why did this or why not that? I mean, we can say it, but we're not called or created to figure that out. I'm asking you this. I don't know what you've added to your faith in God. God's a good God. We know that he rewards. We know that he blesses. He's awesome. It's the most fulfilling life you could ever have. But I'm asking you this. Will you put your trust and your faith in Christ alone? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.